Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to the Word of God as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. During the past several episodes of FEA Today, we've been taking the time to consider the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer in Jesus Christ, a doctrine that is very important, and we've been considering why this is so important. First, the issue is important because of the vast number of professing Christians who embrace the belief that a true Christian can lose his salvation. We have to address and understand that so many people believe this. We considered also it's important because the very doctrine of salvation is at stake. In whom or in what is one trusting for their eternal well-being? The issue is important also because the very character of God is at stake. What one believes about the security of a Christian, the security of the believer, determines what one really believes about God's very nature and his character. Is he strong enough to keep a believer saved? Is the salvation that God has provided through the death of Jesus Christ sufficient to save eternally? Fourth, we believe this issue is important because closely related to the character of God is the credibility of the Bible, God's very word to mankind. If God declares that he gives everlasting or eternal life to a Christian, then does he really do so? And we want to consider that as well. And the final reason that this is so important is because one's walk and witness before others are certainly affected. God truly wants us. He wants his children to know that they are safe and they are secure in him. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have, that ye possess eternal life." So we've been going through and considering this doctrine, and a couple of episodes ago, we considered the fact, first of all, that the Bible tells us that the work of God the Father keeps us secure. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 28, 29, and 30, what many people refer to as the golden chain of redemption. God foreknew, God predestinated, God called, God justified, and those whom he has justified, he has glorified. It's just as good as done. We also considered Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where we read, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it," or will finish or complete it, "until the day of Jesus Christ." God the Father has begun a great work in us, and he will see us through. And this is something that we can be confident about. The very thing that we are to be confident about is the God who began the good work in the believer. He is the one who promises to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then we considered 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, where the Word of God states very clearly that he has begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by God's power. God is all-powerful. It's impossible for a believer to be unkept or to become lost from the grasp of God's hand. Which leads us to the final text that we considered in relation to the role that God the Father plays in keeping us secure. And that's John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, 29, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus continues, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." No man is able to because of the strength, the power of God the Father. Then we begin to consider the work of God the Son in keeping us secure. God the Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, the ability to have this relationship with God right now, is a gift. And it is eternal life. And we considered the fact that the work of God the Son plays a vital role in securing us as his own. We considered as well Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells the believers in Ephesians chapter 2. But he says, now we are raised up, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Salvation is the free gift of God given to the one who has believing faith in Christ, not the one who does or does not perform certain works or does or does not measure up to some standard of man. Then we considered Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, concerning the work of Jesus Christ and keeping us secure, we read that wherefore he is able, Jesus Christ is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, through Jesus Christ, seeing that he, Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for us. This is an incredible text, which tells us not only that the believer is secure once he is saved, we are saved to the uttermost, but it tells us how we're actually kept secure, and it's by the intercessory work, the intercession of Jesus Christ. We're secure because of the intercession made on our behalf by Jesus, who, verse 24 of Hebrews 7 says, continueth ever and hath an unchangeable priesthood. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ continually intercedes on our behalf. And then we looked at Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39, where Paul writes, I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Like the John 10 text, this passage of Scripture describes the role both God the Father and God the Son play in the security of the believer. These two verses are the answer to the question that was stated in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And this text here in Romans 8, 38 and 39 explains that nothing imaginable can separate a true Christian from the love of Jesus Christ. In fact, in all, the Apostle Paul lists 17 things in verses 35, 38, and 39 that cannot separate the believer from the love of his Lord. These 17 things are all-encompassing. We just cannot get more secure than this. Well, finally, we want to consider the role that the Holy Spirit plays, God the Holy Spirit plays, in keeping the believer secure. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit play a role in keeping the believer secure. We look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where the Apostle Paul writes, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ye are sealed. This verse specifically tells the believer that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is very possible. But it's by this Holy Spirit that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's also important to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, which states, God himself gives us the seal of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the believer's salvation, and God the Father is the one who gives us this seal. God the Father declares the believer to be not guilty, not because of any work of man, but because of the finished, perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, his seal is permanent, his seal is sure, and his seal cannot be removed. Notice that the believer is sealed or kept secure until the day of redemption, when Jesus Christ returns and the believer is glorified, forever to be with his Lord in glory. Some claim that the eternal life that's promised to the believer refers only to the eternal state. However, this verse makes it clear there is nothing any believer can do on this earth from the moment of salvation until the day of redemption. There's nothing a believer can do or not do to break God's seal of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul states it's possible for a Christian, for a believer, to grieve the Holy Spirit of God by his actions, by his thoughts. But nowhere does he mention that these actions can break the seal, which is securely in place until the redemption of the body. The context of this verse makes it clear that the believer is to put off or put away sins such as anger, lying, stealing, corrupt communication, all of which grieve the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the believer. However, Paul never says that the Holy Spirit will leave the believer who commits such sins. On the contrary, Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers, and of course us today, to put off the old things and to put on the new things, because the Holy Spirit indwells the believer until the day of redemption. It's interesting, according to Strong's Concise Dictionary of Words in the Greek New Testament, the word sealed in this verse means to stamp for security or preservation. Once again, the triunity of God is revealed in the believer's eternal security. For it is the Father who preserves and secures his own by means of the unbreakable seal of the Holy Spirit, and that is based upon the perfect work, the perfect finished work of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And then we can look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 11, 12, 13, and 14, where the Apostle Paul writes, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." What an incredible verse that explains again to us the role of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in keeping the believer safe and secure and sealed. You see, the seal, that is the Holy Spirit, is our guarantee of future inheritance. This fact, once again, leaves no room for loss of salvation by something that we do or do not do. When someone makes a large purchase, such as a house, often a down payment is required in order to secure the item. You see, believers are the purchased possession. That's what Ephesians 1:14 tells us. We are the purchased possession of the Lord. Acts 20:28 tells us we are purchased with his own blood. And the moment one trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, he becomes a child of God who will one day receive an inheritance at Christ's coming. That is the day of redemption. The earnest or the down payment of that promised inheritance is the Holy Spirit who seals the believer until the redemption. You see, God makes it clear in his word that the wayward saint, that is the genuine believer who sins, will face his chastening hand and will lose reward one day. But the Bible also makes it abundantly clear that the believer possesses eternal life based on the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not on the work or lack of works of the individual believer. Those who choose to believe that a Christian can lose his salvation usually base their belief on the assumption that the saint will live recklessly and unrighteously if he does not face the risk of losing his salvation. And while that might seem to be a logical human notion, it's taught nowhere in Scripture. We have to understand what the Bible says. God wants those who know him to know, to be confident and assured of the fact that they possess eternal life because of the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We say thank you, Lord, for providing such a perfect salvation. We thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.